السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are innumerable. And as individuals, we should constantly count and remember His fadl upon us. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If we are to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would never be able to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it's imperative that we make this effort, because as human beings, we take things for granted. The life that Allah has blessed us with, most importantly, the iman that Allah has blessed us with, this faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us, all of these things, from amongst all of the blessings, our health, our wealth, our family, our children, our parents, our spouses, everything is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should constantly be in a state of gratitude. But to be in a state of gratitude, we need to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to recall and remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And recalling the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will serve as a reminder for us to be in that state of gratitude and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer is in a state of hope and awe. To be in a state of hope, one counts the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue His blessings upon us. And to be in a state of awe, the ulama remind us that we should count and recall what we are doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that will be very little in comparison to what Allah is doing for us. And that state of awe will then encourage us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And both are important. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he mentions that it's like the two wings of a bird. You need both to fly. So subhanallah, we remember and recall the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And at the same time, we recall and we go through, we do a bit of muhasabah, a bit of self-evaluation. And we ask ourselves, what are we doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I the tawfiq and the ability to recall the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increase what we do in return for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, when we say for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a figure of speech. We're actually doing everything for our own selves. We are the beneficiaries of the ibadah. We are the beneficiaries of the goodness that we partake in. Yesterday we covered the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, which came after the verses of fasting, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ. And we talked about this month of Ramadan and the connection that it has with the Holy Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our relationship with the Holy Qur'an in this month, and may it be a relationship that continues. After this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully reminds us of another act that you and I should enjoin in this month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَدِيبٌ. And when my servants ask regarding me, then indeed I am close. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the importance of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we go through a number of things in this month of Ramadan, the Quran being one, fasting being one, the Qiyam and Salatul Tarabih being one aspect of worship, as we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through so many various means, we remind ourselves that one of the forms of worship that we should take part in this month of Ramadan is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for many of us it's human fitrah to think that, well, I'm doing this for myself. When I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I beseech Allah, whether I'm asking for something, whether I'm asking for forgiveness, it's for my own goodness. Hence, we don't consider dua to be a part of ibadah. We think, well, it's something that I'm doing for my own gain, I'm doing for my own benefit. We remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this dua that we make, and this dua that we should make, it is a form of ibadah. And not only is it a form of ibadah, the ulama remind us that it's a great form of worship. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to call upon Him. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to make dua. Yeah, a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not taken lightly. It's not taken lightly. We are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him through making dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Ud'uni astajib lakum. You call upon me, I will answer your call. I will answer your dua. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us not think that this is something, you know, other than ibadah, but rather it is ibadah. In a narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." That dua is ibadah. Dua is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as you and I, when we say Allahu Akbar and when we stand for salah, you know, we're in that state of mind that I'm worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the beautiful things of Ramadan and the fasting that we partake in the month of Ramadan is that, you know, it's a very special form of worship. With the other forms of worship, you know, it's a few minutes long. When we offer our prayers, 5 minutes. Yeah, maybe a little bit more. We have this calculation, one rakat, 1 minute. One rakat, 1 minute, yeah? And then we got to kind of stick to it. It can't be more than that. But subhanAllah, even when we offer Salatul Taraweeh, it might be an hour, it might be an hour, 15 minutes. But in reality, it's two rakats, which are 5-7 minutes long. Yeah, so in between those 5-7 minutes, in between that break, many of us will still check our phone, we'll have a sip of water, we'll do something. Yeah, subhanAllah, we take a bit of a refresher in between. But this fasting that we take part in, it's a constant state of ibadah. It's a constant state of ibadah. That's one of the beautiful things about fasting. That a person, the reason why the levels of taqwa are so heightened when it comes to fasting, is because a person is in a constant state of mind that I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us that this dua that we take part in, this dua when we raise our hands and when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is nothing other than ibadah. Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us and he says, ad-du'a'u mukhu al-ibadah. Dua is the essence of worship. Mukh in the Arabic language, it means the spine. You know, we understand the importance of the spine when it comes to our well-being, when it comes to, you know, the ability to move. Subhanallah, if something tiny goes wrong in one portion of the spine, a person can become paralyzed. A person's movement is restricted. You know, the well-being of the spine is extremely important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all afiyah and well-being. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding us that the importance of dua in our lives is just as important that, you know, the spine has within the well-being of a person and a person's movement. When we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know and understand that we are fulfilling a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to make dua to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to turn to Him. One of the ulama remind us that dua, from amongst the various forms of ibadah, it is a superior form of ibadah. It is a superior form of ibadah because number one, we are following a direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are acknowledging the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand that we understand that there is no one besides Allah. There is no one besides Allah who can fulfill this request of mine. Yeah, that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this servant knows that there is no one besides me who can answer his call, and that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make dua, we lower ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We raise our hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shed tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that there is no one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can answer our duas. In this dunya, any individual that has a little bit of ghayrah, that has a little bit of dignity, you find it difficult to go and ask someone. Yeah, we find it difficult to go and ask someone. Yeah, and you know, a person that has dignity, even though that asking is appropriate, even though you might just need a bit of help, you might just need a bit of assistance, it doesn't have anything to do with money, that's a whole different story. But even then, you know, subhanAllah, you find it difficult. Let me, you know, should I call my neighbors? This heavy delivery, I can't lift it myself. You know, sure, you're like, nah, let me just try myself. Yeah, but why? Because that ghayrah within us, it stops us from asking another individual. And then when it comes to monetary means, yeah, going and asking someone, yeah, kisi ke saath samne haath phailane, it's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah, subhanAllah. But when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this servant of mine knows that there is no one besides me. There is no one besides me that this servant can turn and ask. Yeah. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي And when my servants ask you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding me. And look at the wording of the Holy Quran. The wording of the Quran is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word wa'idha, and when my servants. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word wa'in. Yeah. If, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that my servant will turn to me. It's only a matter of time. It might be on the day of Friday. It might be in the month of Ramadan. It might be on one of the nights of Qadr. It might be when this servant of mine goes to perform Umrah or goes to perform Hajj. It might be when this servant is going through a difficult time. But at some point in time, this servant of mine is going to turn and come to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Even you and I don't know when we're gonna turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has faith in us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this servant of mine is definitely gonna come to me and going to ask me. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ And look at how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word, and when, not if. You know, subhanAllah, if an individual is waiting for someone, and you're happy and you're excited, you don't say, if my brother comes, if my son comes, if my parents come, then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. You say, when? Yeah, when my brother comes, when my parents come, when my son comes, when my daughter comes, yeah, when the time of iftar comes. Yeah, we don't say, if the time of iftar comes. Whereas in reality, we don't know if we're going to live till the time of iftar today. Yeah, forget tomorrow, even today, we don't know if we're going to live till the time of iftar. But yet, we have that acceptance that it's definitely going to happen. When we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this servant of mine is going to come to me. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ. And when they ask you, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ. And who asks you? عِبَادِي. عِبَادِي. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us His servants. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us servants. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us His servants. Yeah, these are both matters of pride for us, matters of honor for us. In this dunya, a servant, a slave, yeah, it's not something that is seen with respect or izzah. It's something that is low, something that is derogatory. Yeah, if you call someone a servant or a slave, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be called His servant or to be called His slave is a matter of honor for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us His servants. The greatest level that a person can reach, the greatest level that a believer can reach, is to be a servant of Allah. That's why we find that the best names are what? Abdullah, Abdul Rahman. Why? Servant of Allah, servant of the Most Merciful. Yeah, subhanallah. It's like the height, the greatest height that we can reach is to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just say servant, He says my servant. Yeah, it doesn't matter what we've done in life. It doesn't matter what where we've been. It doesn't matter what we've been looking at. It doesn't matter what we've been listening to. It doesn't matter what we've been engaging in. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us our sins. This is the month. The month of Ramadan is the month in which we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan is the month in which we seek forgiveness. The month of Ramadan is the month when we acknowledge our sins before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that it cannot be done at any other time, but this is the season of forgiveness. This is the season of du'as being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we want to purchase something, you can purchase something any time of the day. You can purchase something any time of the night. But subhanallah, when you want to catch that bargain, what do? We wait for a sale. Yeah, we wait for a sale, that the Christmas sale is coming, the Easter sale is coming, this sale is coming, that sale is coming. Why? Because we know it's the season. In a similar manner, we can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anytime, but this is the season in which du'as are accepted. This is the season in which forgiveness is handed out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. When they ask concerning me, regarding me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Then indeed I am close. Indeed I am close. The wording should be, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ. That, O Prophet of Allah, tell them that I am close. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately answers Himself that I am close. Rather than continuing with that message, that if they ask you, then you tell them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot address every single individual. At the end of the day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can address all of us at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can address and accept all of our du'as at the same time. You know, subhanallah, when we one of the beautiful introductions which is written regarding the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's written that Allah, who is Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is listening to all of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is listening to all of humanity, every human being, all 7 billion plus of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is listening to all of the animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is listening to all of the nabatat.
jinnat, all of the plants that are doing tasbih and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to each and every single one of His creations at the same time, simultaneously, and Allah is answering all of them. Subhanallah, if there were two of us talking right now, or three of us talking right now, we wouldn't be able to focus. Maybe two, we might be able to get away with a bit of focus, but it would still affect our focus. More than two, more than three, we wouldn't be able to understand. And if those two or three people were all speaking in a different language or in a different dialect, we wouldn't be able to keep up. All of the human beings in all of their languages, all at the same time, Salatul Maghrib, and every, you know, it's happening at the same time, you know, constantly there is Maghrib taking place somewhere in the world. There is someone making dua at, and you know, at some point in this world, all of us making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting all of our du'as, and Allah is listening to each and every single one of us. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am close. I am close. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand, you know, there's a hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, that if every single one of us, every single one of us, not just the 7 billion people here right now on this planet, but from beginning till end, from Adam alayhi salatu wassalam till the last person, if every single one of us were to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we were to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything and everything, yeah, for anything and everything, it would not decrease anything from the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would not decrease anything from the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says the example is like a needle being dipped into the ocean. If we were to take that needle out, which is dipped into the ocean, what volume of water would remain on the tip of the needle in comparison to what remains in the oceans? Subhanallah. Let us think. You know, we were to ask, what would we ask for? Yeah. Most of us, we'd forget. The greatest thing that we can ask for is Ridha Rabb, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us entry into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing us with afiyah, the best of this dunya and the best of the akhirah. But even if we move on to material things and we were to ask for, you know, millions and billions and houses and cars and whatever this dunya could offer and everything, and all of us were to ask for the same, it wouldn't take away from anything. It wouldn't take away from anything. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this month of Ramadan, we should dedicate a portion of our time asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is also ibadah. That is also ibadah. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am close. I am close. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us that an individual that doesn't ask Allah, Allah is angry with that individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with that individual. The complete opposite of what happens in this dunya. Yeah, subhanallah, when someone is calling us and we know that that person wants something, or that person wants a favor from us, or it's the month of Ramadan and that person's collecting funds, what do? We avoid that person's call. Yeah, we don't answer that person's call. We run away from that person. Why? Because we know that that person is going to ask me of something. It might be my time, it might be my wealth, it might be something. Yeah, we run away from people. That's human fitrah. That's not how it should be. We should be there helping one another. Yeah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا دَامَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us that as long as a servant is in the assistance of his brother, of his sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of that individual's needs. When we're giving our time to someone, when we're helping someone, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of our needs. Things in our life will become easy. There will be barakah in our time. There will be barakah in our wealth. Subhanallah. Yeah. When we don't ask Allah, it displeases Allah. Not only does it displease Allah, it angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally when we talk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we talk about His sifat and His attributes, we talk about His rahmah and His mercy and His compassion. Subhanallah. Here, what angers Allah when we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, he was the host of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was on his deathbed, the companions that were around him, he called those companions and he said, "Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that I've not mentioned before." And he says, "I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if a group of people were to stop asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, were to stop committing sins and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would change that group of people and would bring in another group of people." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we're going to commit sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what Allah wants from us is Allah wants us to ask Him for forgiveness. And that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every human being is a sinner. Every human being is a sinner. But the best of sinners are those that repent, those that do tawbah, those that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. In this month of Ramadan, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should have firm yaqeen, firm faith. The wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ, that you have firm faith that your dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have this faith that our dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu, he would say that when I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am not concerned about my dua being accepted by Allah. Because if Allah has given me the tawfiq to make dua, He will definitely accept my duas. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of three things happens. Number one, either that dua is accepted immediately. And you know, when we talk about time, when we talk about, you know, duas being accepted, it's, you know, in Arabic they say very beautifully that our dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His terms and not on our terms. Yeah, in this world we want everything to be according to our terms. I set the rules. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sets the rules. Yeah, we make dua to Allah, that dua will be accepted, but based on the terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will accept that dua when He wishes, and He will accept that dua for whatever location He wishes. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, that dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defers that dua for a time that is better for us, that is more appropriate for us. A person may be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, grant me this. Oh Allah, help me get married. Oh Allah, grant me this job. Oh Allah, grant me this." But we don't know the future. We don't know what tomorrow has. We don't know what's beyond these walls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And when we make dua for khair. We make dua for goodness. Because we don't know where goodness is. We don't know when goodness is. We might want something immediately, but there is no goodness in that matter for us right now. But when Allah has placed goodness for us, Allah will accept that dua for us. Yeah, the dua that we made, Allah will accept it then when it's good for us. And we should have firm faith that every dua is accepted, and it's accepted whenever the time is right. We don't know whether the time is right now or not, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And number three, if that dua is not accepted, in return for that dua being accepted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts a calamity from befalling upon us. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away something that might happen to us. Something bad, something wrong, a calamity which may have occurred. In return for our dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away. And that is something that we will never know of. That is something that we will never find out. Yeah. If a person is driving, may Allah protect everyone. But we get into an accident. We know there's an accident. Now, if you're driving and you don't get into an accident, how do you know that there was an accident that was going to happen? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected us. We don't know. But that's where we should have faith and yaqeen that every dua of mine is accepted by Allah. You know that dua that we make and we're like, oh, but that dua is not being accepted, not being accepted, not being accepted. Maybe in return for that dua, Allah has protected us from 100 calamities. Every dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, dua is a powerful tool. Dua is something that changes our destiny. Dua is the only thing that can change our destiny. We should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he mentions very beautifully, what is the distance between a servant and the arsh of Allah? Now when we go through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we read about, you know, the arsh of Allah being hundreds and thousands of miles away, and you know, a distance of thousands and thousands of years of travel, etc., etc., what you and I today would understand as light years and, you know, things like that. He says, the distance between the servant and the arsh of Allah is nothing but a sincere dua made with a sincere heart. All we have to do is make dua to Allah. Allah is there at the other end answering our dua. Making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things that we tend to notice when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, for many of us, when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our dua is a very ritual. We just raise our hands making dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya, Rabbana wa anta salam. Sometimes we even like that sing-along voice and things as well, alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, if a good melody takes us closer to Allah, alhamdulillah, it does. When we listen to the Qur'an, which is in a melodious voice, it takes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But subhanAllah, when we're making dua, we see it's just a ritual. Like after salah, it's like Allahumma, and then just like that's it. Yeah, dua should not be a ritual. We see people, you know, not but we see it. We can't stop, you know, seeing what we see, can we? You see people making dua and they're like looking around everywhere. No, that's not. When we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're talking to Allah. We're conversing with Allah. We should be attentive when we're making dua. Yeah. If that is our state of mind, you know, and then we want Allah to accept our du'as. Of course, Allah will accept our du'as, but don't we think we should offer some more? Yeah, we should be in that present state of mind when we're talking with Allah. If a person has an interview at work, if a person gets called into their boss's office and you have to listen, you know, you wouldn't be on your phone, you wouldn't be, you know, inattentive standing there. No, we'd be there full attention before that individual. And we're standing before the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make dua with our hearts and not just words of the tongue. Yeah. Let us make dua with the heart, knowing what it is that we're asking, knowing who it is that we're asking. And number two, we find that when we make dua, when all hope is lost, the last resort is we turn to Allah and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is at first instance. Yeah. We go home, we place our keys, we can't find our keys. Yeah, we don't look for the keys for 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes, tell the kids, can you go look for my keys? Have you seen anything? Maybe I left it in the car, let me go look in the car. When everything is lost, we're like, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Well, ya Allah, help me find my keys. No, that's not. When we can't find our keys, immediately, at that moment in time, we make dua, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, help me find my keys. Oh Allah, make it easy for me. And then subhanAllah, then we start looking. Then we adopt the means. Dua is not something which is left last resort. If someone needs something from us, and we know that that person needs something from us, and we know that person calls someone else, asks someone else, asks someone else, and then that person comes to us. Yeah. Urdu mein kya kehte hain, tukra ke abhi aaya mere paas. Yeah, you know, you got knocked, and then when you couldn't, then you come to me. Yeah, that's how it is. When we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because, you know, so and so, then we finally go to that individual and say, bro, can you help me out? Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at first instance. Yeah. Let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I the tawfiq and the ability to understand this great act of ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all of our du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our du'as. In this month of Ramadan, we're blessed with two exceptional times in which du'as are accepted. Number one, the time of suhoor. When we wake up for suhoor, the last portion of the night, that is the time of qiyam. That is the time of tahajjud. That is the time when du'as are accepted. It's a hadith you and I hear over and over again. It's a hadith narrated by many sahaba radiallahu anhum, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest of heavens and asks, is there any servant of mine who has a need so I may fulfill his need? Is there any servant of mine who's asking for rizq so that I may grant that individual rizq? Is there any servant of mine asking for forgiveness so that I may forgive that individual? Yeah, that is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest of heavens and is asking to fulfill our needs, is asking to accept our du'as. That is a time that we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it means waking up 10 minutes early, if it means that, you know, we use the bathroom first and we do wudu first, yeah, because there might be people in the house, etc. But it doesn't mean that we just sit around till the last minute and wait and say, okay, you know what, now it's time for fajr, let me quickly do wudu prayer, let me quickly do wudu and go to the masjid. No, those last minutes before the time of fajr enters, it's a sacred time. Let us stop eating 10-15 minutes before, do some qiyam, raise our hands and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, the time of iftar, the time before we break our fast, is a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving people. Let us use that time correctly and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us remind our women folk at home as well that that's not the time. May Allah reward them, they prepare amazing foods for us, but that's not the time that should go into preparing the foods. We can prepare the food sometime earlier, leave it in the oven, it'll stay warm, that's fine. But those last 15-20 minutes, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have young children, we should sit down as a family and make dua if we're not coming to the masjid, because it will be these reminders that will stay with our children. Yeah, for many people who come from, you know, immigrant backgrounds, you know, you remember the Ramadan of whatever country that you grew up in. Yeah, our children are growing up in this country. What will be their memories of Ramadan? What will be their memories of Ramadan? We sit together as a family, we make dua, we ask them to make dua. Yeah, these young children, they're ma'soom, they're forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask them to make dua as well, and their du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us not neglect these two times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those individuals who are forgiven in this blessed month. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us entry into Jannah. أقول قولي هذا فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. جزاكم الله خيرا.